Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Thursday, November 16th, 2023. And joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Dr. Robert Smith is with the American Cancer Society. Robert, it's great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Happy to be here.
We're talking about lung cancer today. I want to start off by asking you, how prevalent is lung cancer and lung cancer diagnosis in our society? And does it cut to a certain age range of people in our society?
Yeah, lung cancer is the second most common cancer diagnosed in Americans. It's the leading cause of cancer death. In 2023, we estimate about 238,000 men and women will be diagnosed with lung cancer. It's a disease more commonly diagnosed in people in their elderly years. I mean, we start seeing the incidence increase in around the age of 50, and most lung cancers are diagnosed in people in their late 60s and early 70s.
And what are the symptoms? Like, if I was just walking around, do you develop a cough? Do you develop a pain? Is it all the above? How do I know if I've developed a lung cancer?
Well, it can be both those things, but a cough and a persistent cough, dry cough, but a persistent cough is really the most common early sign of lung cancer. When I say early sign, it's the first sign that a person is going to have. Eventually, they may find that this cough is actually producing some blood. Usually at this point, lung cancer is advanced. And this is one of the reasons we emphasize screening so much and why the message to people always is, shouldn't need to have symptoms to undergo screening. Screening is intended for people without symptoms. We want to pick up this disease. In fact, in all of the cancers that we screen for, we want to pick them up before you have any idea that you have cancer, because that's when treatment's going to be the most effective.
And look, we go to the doctor for us men. You have different types of exams. There are blood tests. I mean, the technology to figure out if you are impacted by cancer of any type has really grown significantly. This is, if detectable, it's fairly treatable before it metastasizes and gets to a much more fatal level, isn't it?
Yeah, quite treatable. In fact, we have for many, many years tried to find an early detection strategy for lung cancer. Chest X-ray has very, very small level of benefit. We used to look at sputum cytology. We used to sort of anything that we might find lung cancer early. The game changer now is low-dose CT, computed tomography, which I think most of your listeners are familiar with. CT can find lung cancers when they're so small that they really have a very, very good prognosis from the treatment. And that's why annual screening is so important for people who are at high risk for lung cancer.
Let's talk about the screening, and then we'll carry it over to, I got to go to a commercial right after this question, but I want to ask you, where do you go to get the screening? Is it something I would go to my general physician, my internist, and say, I want to be screened? They do the cholesterol, they do all the tests that are kind of, we do every year. How do you get the screening?
I think going to your regular source of care is a good place to start. And there you would want to say you're interested in lung cancer screening. You think it might be right for you. You have a history of smoking. They can talk with you about what to expect from the exam, some of the downsides a small number of people may experience when they have positive findings and may even have to undergo a biopsy. But then you would go to, be referred to an imaging facility, much of the same kind of facility where women get mammograms, and then you could have a low-dose CT.
Yeah, it sounds almost like I just went for a coronary calcium scoring, and I think I sat in the cylindrical device for like 2 minutes or 10 minutes, and it was in and out. It was absolutely painless.
In fact, you can get that scoring when you get a lung CT. And wow, it's one of the things that we are talking about more and more, is where you could sometimes undergo a test and you can actually have get additional information about your health. So not only having your lungs screened, but getting enough with seeing whether or not you have any cardiac calcifications, getting a score that might also provide some insights into your health and some interventions that you may want to undergo.
Yeah, and excuse the metaphor, but it's killing two birds with one stone, which obviously would be good information for your internist, your practitioner. Robert, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about screening and treatment of lung cancer. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings in retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Dr. Robert Smith of the American Cancer Society. Robert, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
Happy to be here.
There was a shift recently in the guidelines associated with cancer and lung cancer. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, what that means, what that shift is, and what that means for potential patients and people who want to get screened?
Sure. So since 2013, we've known that we've had guidelines for lung cancer screening. American Cancer Society had them, other organizations had them, and we've pretty much recommended over time, these have evolved. Right now, we recommend that adults between the ages of 50 and 80 with a 20 pack year history, a pack year history is equivalent of one pack of cigarettes per day per year. 50 to 80, 20 pack year history. And if you are a person who formerly smoked, you have to be within a window of 15 years since quit. When the American Cancer Society updated its guidelines in just this past month, we had spent a great deal of time looking at this issue of years since quit for people who formerly smoked. And we concluded that the evidence did not support this. And in fact, the assumption that if you quit smoking, your risk of lung cancer is going to decline is certainly true compared to continuing smoking. But I think our advice, I say our advice, the collective us, has been rather misleading because we've implied to people who formerly smoked that your risk will just get lower and lower and lower. Quitting smoking is the single most important thing you can do if you smoke. But people need to understand that as they get older, their risk of lung cancer will increase. And what we observed is that the years since quit rule was disqualifying, at least for insurance coverage, quite a large number of people whose risk was rising and was higher than it was during the period when they qualified for lung cancer screening. So we have made this the central part of our guideline update. The central element of our guideline update is that we no longer recommend that your quit date should have anything to do with your eligibility for lung cancer screening. Our guideline right now focuses on people who are between the ages of 50 and 80, have at least a 20-pack year history, and are in reasonably good health so that if they do have lung cancer, they will benefit from treatment.
And you talk about the screening. How often should I get screening? Is it annual?
Every year.
Every year. So every year you do it. And I know we're talking a little bit about smoking, but you don't have to be a smoker necessarily to get lung cancer. I mean, I told you the story of a friend of mine whose mom never smoked in her life, had something on her lung, had to have it removed. So this is, it could be environmental as well if you're in certain...
It could be many things. It could be any number of things. But the point is that it's a bit of a problem. It's more than a bit of a problem. You know, you were talking about symptoms earlier on. If a person who has never smoked comes in with a persistent cough, neither they nor their doctor are going to think lung cancer at the beginning of this complaint. And what happens is that this cough doesn't go away and they still think it can't be lung cancer. And eventually they finally decide to get a CT, and sure enough, it is lung cancer. So our recommendation really is that a persistent cough that lasts of any duration and for which there is not a clear explanation should be worked up as that lung cancer is a possibility.
Yeah, and last question for you, Robert. Let's talk a little bit about treatment. I know we're talking about prevention. Prevention's obviously key. It's important, and it's across all the cancers. So, you know, colon cancer, which is, I think, seen a great uptick as well. If people just got screened and they got screening earlier, they'd be able to detect it. But assuming you do the screening, you get detected, what's treatment look like, generally speaking? I mean, is it radiation, chemotherapy, removing the tumor? How easy is it relative to later?
It's all of those treatments that we use in our armamentarium. But for an early stage lung cancer, mainly the first course of treatment is surgery. But I will tell you what's really been remarkable now. Now we have this opportunity to detect lung cancer early. Our treatments for lung cancer have become almost revolutionary, especially for advanced stage disease. Because what we're doing now is we are doing, if a person is diagnosed and the stages are actually getting progressively lower where this kind of treatment would be applied, is we determine whether or not the patient carries mutations on particular genes. And if they do, those mutations can be linked to specific therapies which show much better outcomes than standard therapy. This is referred to as biomarker testing. I mean, our advice right now is that anybody who is diagnosed with lung cancer needs to have biomarker testing as soon as possible. So as soon as they see the oncologist will have that information at their fingertips for planning their treatment. It will eliminate delays in treatment, which are hard for any patient to go through.
Yeah, and I just think about, you know, we're living longer, greater longevity, but also better quality of life and getting screened. It's really fairly simple just to do it. I mean, doesn't hurt, it's painless, and it could really prolong your life and your quality of life. Robert, we're going to have to leave it there. Great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon, sir.
Thank you for having us.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news in lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another great edition of BRN AM. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.